The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another rousing episode. We're going to call it an episode today. Or an edition. A publication. Whatever you call it. It's just the Computer Corner. It's the show where we talk about technology, where we talk about computers, where we help you out with your problems, where we hook you up with knowledge. Information, we use our mad skills with a Z.
Mad skills
to make sure that you're up to speed with what's happening in the world of technology and, of course, try to help you out with whatever your situation is. We do it each and every Saturday from noon to 2. We've been doing it for over a decade. And if you're new to the show, we'll give you a quick rundown on how things work here. First, we'll start with some quick introductions. To my left, across the console, Ben Cruzy.
Hello.
Ben is, what is Ben? Ben is a little bit of everything. You pepper in a little bit of technical mad genius. You throw in a little bit of super nice guy. You put a smiley face on it. Not like the yellow sticker that has a smiley face, but, you know, like a big grin that never goes away. Have you ever seen Ben without a grin on his face?
He's calling you Special Ben.
I am Special.
Special Ben. And we call him now Special Ben. And that's so that's who's over here. He's one of our data doctors, been around a long time, and takes good care of people out in the world and runs into and works with folks on a daily basis and then comes in from time to time to help share the love of what happens out there in the real world with people on the radio.
So how nice of me.
That is nice of you. And with a smile on his face
right.
The whole time.
I always smile.
To his left, to my right, across the console, Louis Georges.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, good day, good evening, and good night, in case I don't see you again. And Louis is the exact opposite of Ben. Never smiles. Serious face all the time. Works on not the Windows side of the world, but on the Mac side, the dark side. He plays with some Windows stuff, too. Don't let him fool you. He tries to profess that Mac computers are perfect in every way. They don't break.
They don't break.
There are no problems. Yet, he has a service business that works off of the fact that is not always the case. And he sells services and hooks people up in general with everything Mac-related.
You see how he had to throw that in?
I have to throw that in. Over in his world, known as Mac Media.
They don't break, but he has a thriving service business.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, even whether they actually break or not, people need help making their technology work.
It's not that they break. It's the fine-tuning.
Fine-tuning, right. He maintains. And his cast and crew of dozens? Hundreds? Thousands?
The followers are
no the people that work in your Mac Media world.
There's quite a few of them.
Quite a
thousands.
Few. So he leads the charge in making sure that if you've got Mac issues in the world, well, Lewis and crew are there to solve those things. And of course, he comes down to do that here with you, for you, to you, and against you, each and every week. Well, not each and every week, but a lot.
That's very nice of you
to hook you up. So we've got. Between these guys across from you and then me, who I'm just really here to help make sure that buttons get pushed at the right time and that we don't screw things up too badly. Well, that's making us sound good is all Pete across the other side of the glass. But between us all here, I'm sure that if you've got a technology question, an issue, you've got something bothering you, something that's driving you nuts, something that's frustrating you, you want to know what to purchase when you're making your new purchase or a direction to go, we're going to have an answer for you. We're going to be able to point you in a good direction. We're going to be able to hook you up. So if you have any of those things, there's ways you can participate. You can give us a call, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. You can, of course, check out our website, datadoctors.com. I'll say it again because I think I screwed it up. Because some part, some syllable didn't come out. datadoctors.com/radio. And there you'll find links to ask questions, make suggestions. Those come to us here in the studio. And we check those things out. And if they're super duper awesome, we talk about them. And if they're not, we read them and try to respond to them. And at least help people out wherever we can. When we say super duper awesome, we mean if your problem is something we think others could benefit from hearing about, then we're going to talk about it. And if it's something where it's just something one-off for you, then we'll just try to help you out. So that's sort of the way things work. If you've been listening to the show at all for the last, I think, 12 years, 13 years, something like that, you'll know that we have a theme each week, and we talk a little bit about something that we think is topical that's going on out in the world, and we invite you to participate in that conversation. Of course, your call, your question doesn't have to be necessarily about that topic. It can be about whatever's going on in your life, but we have the theme nonetheless. This week's theme, searching for a new way to search, which seems a little strange, right?
There's more than one way?
Searching for a new way to search. And that's what we're going to talk about. Maybe some of what we're going to talk about is that, do we need more ways to search, or is the one way that we're all pretty much using today get the job done?
Yeah, unless we get stuck on one subject.
Maybe there's specialty searches that you didn't know about. And so we can talk a little bit about that. We can talk about ways you can use the search that you're already using today. And let's face it, it's probably Google. If there's somebody out there that's not using Google, I'd love for them to call us up and convince us of why we should switch to whatever it is they're using at 602-277-5827. If you can convince either Ben or myself or Lewis that your search is better than the Google we're all using, that would be awesome. If you can convince all of us or any two of us, even better.
Well, you can also call in, too, and talk about ways to enhance Google.
That's what I was going to say, is that we can probably teach you, or you could even teach us or teach each other. There's things you can do other than just type in a couple of words that are going to make Google get you more accurate or fewer or more relevant results. And Google's doing a good job of trying to figure out what you're looking for. It's the closest thing to mind reading we have today. But there are little things you can do, little tricks, little tips, and we can talk a little bit about those. Some of those tips and tricks you can sort of discover for yourself when you're doing your next Google search. Click where it says Advanced Search in little text right below, and it will help you and guide you through some of the things you can do. But we can talk about some of the simple things, like selective use of quotation marks and plus symbols and minus symbols, those kinds of things. There's some really powerful things that can happen when you do that. So we'll spend some time talking about that. Of course, we have lots of resources posted for you. Again, datadoctors.com/radio. And if you're interested in history at all, I'm kind of a history buff. I didn't say I was buff. I said I'm a history buff, right? The first link we have under this week's links at the radio show page talks about the sort of the history of search. And I know that sounds like it might be sort of a boring topic, but you're going to get a little quick education on lots of things, and really the origins of the internet and how search has really been integrated as a part of that since the beginning, and really the whole point of how the internet works with something called hypertext, meaning things that can link to other things. That whole mechanism really is what lends itself to being searched and indexed and usable. And so kind of a quick, cool history lesson. Like I said, if you're into that kind of thing, we got all kinds of other stuff there too for you. And so you'll want to check those things out. Of course, most importantly, it's you with your calls, your questions, what's going on in your world. And we're going to ask you what you use to search and take our own little informal poll here. So when you call and you ask that question, be prepared to answer that as well. 602-277-5827 is the number for that. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, your calls, your questions right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about ways to search. Improved ways, better ways, the same way you already got, but with some twists, some tricks. Whatever it is, we got a line open for you if you want to talk about that or whatever your technology issue is. It's 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR, Ben.
I didn't know that.
They locked that number down. KTAR is in the phone number. That's awesome, right?
That is awesome.
That is awesome.
That's why the microphone says 92.3.
Yeah, it does say that. Before we went to break, we were talking with Ginger about her her teenager that wrecked her world.
Uh-oh.
And he is.
Yeah, so he was trying to go check out some video stuff, and in the process got the machine infected, And now you're saying it doesn't, it's shut down, or what's its current state?
It's just not doing anything. It just goes to, you can't do anything on it. It just comes up with the thing and you can't go anywhere. And he tried to restore it and do all sorts of things, but nothing is working.
Okay. So we got a couple of ideas of things you can try. And I'll be honest, depending on what it is, if it's a really nasty, severe, bad infection,
okay,
some of these things may not do you any good, but it doesn't hurt to try, right?
Okay.
So, do you know how to boot into something called Safe Mode?
I used to.
Okay. So, we're going to walk you through it. It's not too tough. What you're going to do is restart your computer. And then while, you know, it goes black and it starts its normal little boot up sequence.
Right.
During that boot up sequence, just start tapping the F8 key.
F8?
F8. It's at the very top of your keyboard, kind of right in the center there. You start tapping that thing like once a second. Tap, 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 tap. Until it pops up with this little menu that's a black screen with white writing. And it's going to give you some options of how you can continue booting up.
Okay.
And it'll have, depending on the version of operating system and things, between like 5 and 10 different options.
Okay.
The one you're looking for is the one called Safe Mode.
Alrighty.
And so you use your arrow keys to go up and down and select Safe Mode and hit your Enter key. And it's going to do its little thing and kind of whir away for a minute there. And it's going to come up to something that looks sort of like what you're used to seeing, but the pictures and things, all the icons are going to be a little bit bigger, and it's going to give you some kind of warning message that you're in this special diagnostic mode of Windows called Safe Mode.
Like the old DOS used to run.
Yeah, but it'll look and feel like Windows, and you can use your mouse, and it'll just be kind of a funky-looking version of what you're used to.
Okay.
So, assuming your machine boots all the way up and you can now do something, you have a couple of options. Do you have antivirus, anti-spyware protection, I'm assuming?
Yes.
What is it you use?
I want to say it's McAfee.
Okay. Not on our huge list of favorite stuff. In fact, it's on our list of least favorite stuff, but that's at least it's something. So you can try running that software just by opening it up, you know, start programs, find the McAfee software, and try to do a complete scan. And it's going to take a few hours. Let it go through and do its thing. It may have some success in knocking down some of the bad stuff that's there.
Okay.
So that's one possibility. Another possibility is to use something called System Restore. And this is not the same thing as using the restore disks that may have come with your computer. This is something built into Windows, and you'll find it when you're in Safe Mode under Start, and then Programs are all programs, then Accessories, finally System Tools.
Okay, wait a minute. Programs, Accessories, and then System Tools.
Yes, ma'am. So when you're in System Tools, you'll find something called System Restore, and if you click on it, it's going to pop up and ask you, do you want to set a restore point? Meaning, let's make a place that we can come back to in the future, which is not what you want to do. The other thing you can do is go back to a point in time. This is where the restore part comes in.
Okay.
So you're going to say, yeah, I want to go back to some point in time. And then it's going to take a minute and kind of go and scan and look for all of its restore points. And it's going to pop up a little calendar. And it's going to show you different dates that are bold that you can go back to. And so you'll pick a day that's just prior to when all the bad things happen. In your case, maybe Thursday.
Okay.
So you click on Thursday, and it's going to say, okay, I'm going to do this. And when we're all done, I'm going to ask you to reboot. You say, okay, and give it a few minutes. It's going to do its little thing and say, okay, time to restart. You go ahead and let it restart like normal. And hopefully your virus is gone because you've gone back to a point in time prior to this nasty infection.
Cool.
So if neither of these things work, then you've really only got probably two options. One is going to involve getting someone professionally involved, which is going to be some of your dollars spent to get this cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
The other is going to be avoiding dollars being spent, but it's going to cause you a lot of time and possibly some pain. And that is, you would basically, you'd get out your disks that came with your computer, and one of them is probably called a System Restore or System Reset or something like that disk.
Okay.
And you're going to go back to, using that disk, it'll take you back to the way the machine was when you first brought it home and took it out of the box. But that means that all your stuff is going to be gone. Any pictures you took, any settings you have set, your background, your music, your email, your context.
From the beginning. Yeah.
Right. So obviously, if you haven't been making regular backups, you'd want to make some kind of backup before doing that. And expect to spend a lot of time and possibly some pain getting things back to a usable state, working the way you want.
Okay.
But that's the way you can avoid spending money on things.
Or buy a new computer.
Buying a new computer is, a lot of people think that's the fix for a lot of problems with the computer because they think, well, computers are so cheap these days, why not, right? So let's walk through that real quickly because this is a very common response is, well, gosh, if I'm going to spend X number of dollars fixing it, why not just buy a new one? So let's talk about what happens when you buy a new computer. You buy a new computer, you take it home, you plug it in. Does that computer have your pictures on it?
Nope, it has nothing.
Does it have your settings?
No.
Have your contacts?
No.
How about that email?
Yeah,
right. So you're in the same boat as if you had put that system restore disk in and set the thing back. You've got to figure out how to get all that stuff onto the computer and make it all work, right?
Right.
So you haven't solved your problem. You've changed your problem.
Now, more importantly, though, you haven't asked her if her teenager has a job.
you know where Lewis is going with this.
Soon
maybe it's time for a summer job.
I think you're right.
Or if, at least he can take over laundry, dishes. Mowing, trash.
I was certainly more worried about the unscrupulous video website he might have been on. Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Might have come off of.
It may or may not be unscrupulous. It may be something a very common place where we pick up these kinds of nasties these days is MySpace. And MySpace may or may not be unscrupulous, but at the end of the day, a lot of people aren't there looking for anything other than checking out what their friends have posted or this link to that cool band or whatever.
Yeah,
everybody's on MySpace. And it's there's a lot of danger out there in the world of the internet. And what's important once you get through all of this, a lot of people think, well, I have antivirus and I have a firewall. That's all great. It's like having anti-lock brakes and airbags in your car, right? Good protection there when you need it. But better than all of that is learning the rules of the road and learning how to drive properly.
Yep.
And so when it comes to your computer and the internet, that couldn't be more true. Knowing the little things and listening to and looking at and checking out resources like this show. I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about some of the little things that if you change a little bit of your behavior, you don't install these codecs or supposed codecs, you don't open attachments in email, you keep your Windows up to date with patches and you know, these kinds of things. You're careful with the kinds of sites you go to and you know that places like MySpace have real dangers present. And so you're extra cautious there. You still get in your car and you still drive down the freeway knowing that you could die if you don't know what you're doing, but you pay extra special attention. You have a hands-free device. So you're not distracted. You do all kinds of things, right?
Yeah. So be a defensive driver.
The same thing applies to computers and the internet. And it wouldn't be a bad idea for your family, your teenagers especially, to spend a little bit of time understanding what the dangers are and things you can do to help those anti-lock brakes in that airbag, meaning your antivirus and your firewall do their job properly.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I have talked to him about that, and it's time to reinforce that. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate your help, but my next question would be, there is no type of disk that you can just stick in and it does some sort of cleanup process. Someone told me that.
What you're asking for is the equivalent of a magic wand.
So, okay. We know there's no that.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm looking at Dr. Sam Benjamin, who's on right after us. He's sitting across the glass for me. In medicine, there's no such thing as a magic wand.
Right.
With computers, there's no such thing. I don't think anything in life there's a magic wand for.
That'd be great if there was.
We'd either have a much easier job in our business, or we'd be out of business. One of the two, if such a thing existed. And I mean, there's all kinds of people that will try to sell you a piece of software that supposedly will magically do all these things.
But there isn't.
No.
Okay.
You're going to spend money and time, and probably not make your problem any better. In fact, you may make it worse.
Well, then I'm not going to go that route, but. I can't tell you how much I appreciate your help. I listen to your show. You guys are great. Thank you so much for everything you do for people like me who do not know about computers.
Well, you bet. You keep listening and get your son listening. And maybe between you guys, you're going to learn some new things that'll help keep you out of this danger down the road, huh?
Well, I do appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You bet. Hey, thanks for the call so much. You have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's rough. It's you know what, though? It's better to learn the lesson now than when something really important, you know, right now, her son probably doesn't have a report due Monday since it's the end of the school year, right? She probably doesn't, living without the computer or limited functionality for a few days, that pain may work out to be a good thing.
You know, I don't think a lot of people realize, though, that MySpace, you can actually contract viruses off there.
Yeah. There's some the way MySpace, you know, if you go to people's MySpace pages.
Well, they assume they're in the safe world.
Well, yeah, MySpace is all good, right? And MySpace is not the problem. Some decisions that they made are part of the problem. And so if you look at a MySpace as an example and compare that to maybe Facebook even. Facebook is for a lot of people a much more plain Jane, simplified. You know, you don't have music playing when you go there automatically. You have to choose to play it. There's no fancy backgrounds. It's just a plain and simple tool that lets people hook up and talk and chat and join groups and do all these things, right? And MySpace sort of started as the same thing, but they wanted everybody to have their own personality.
Well, MySpace kind of has sensory overload.
Right. But in that ability to create your own personal sensory overload, your own background, your own music, comes an inherent danger, which is people can slip little pieces of code in. And that's where the danger comes, and that's what the problem is. So, anyway, we got a line open for you, 602-277-5827. We come back, more Searching for Search, right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around. Searching for ways to search, or maybe we're just finding the same thing we already had. It's the Computer Corner. We're talking about search. We've got links, information, resources posted for you, as always, at datadoctors.com/radio. And, of course, we're talking to you about your issues with viruses and infections and spyware and whatever else is going on, or whatever kind of problem you're having. We'll talk to you about any of those things. We don't care.
So how about a search engine that searches search engines?
A search of all searches?
The ultimate search.
There is such a thing. Remember when you were in grade school on the playground? Somebody would fall, and everybody would yell, "Dog pile!" Right? Everybody jump on top.
I don't want to remember that.
There's dogpile.com is the search of all searches. If you've never been there, it's dogpile. The idea of it's really cool, and you think that would be what I would use every day.
Because it's the ultimate search.
Because when you search in dogpile, what it does is it goes and searches in the background. Google and Microsoft, what do they call Microsoft's thing these days? Live search
and talking to Mr. Jeeves.
It goes and asks all of them the search phrase and then returns all their results. And so, wow.
Does it ask?
It does. And so, wow, how powerful is that? But what I find myself doing pretty much all the time is the same thing. The same reason I use Google is the reason that I end up with the Google result is because it's the one that's closest to what I was looking for. And so dogpile becomes a longer way for me to Google search. Now, it may not be for you. For you, it may give you more results because maybe 1.6 million wasn't enough choices. You need more. I don't know. By the way, if you're using both, if you use AOL and then you go to Google to search because you're not quite sure the results AOL has, it's been the common practice for many years now. AOL uses Google's search engine as its search, so they're one and the same. The results will be identical. The information's the same. So do yourself a favor. If you're using both, pick one and love it and embrace it. They're both the same. But dogpile might be something you want to give a shot. Try it out. Check it out. Remember about a year ago, there was the company that a couple of the guys that had started Google went and started this little thing called Cool. Remember that? C-U-I-L, I think it was called. Cool web search.
It didn't last very long.
It lasted about 2-3 months.
That's not very long.
Supposedly, it was super fast. I mean, it didn't last because it didn't work, right? It was supposed to be able to index 1,000 times faster and be more powerful and this and that. And then it turned out it wasn't actually able to index a lot of anything. It was getting like 9% of the web or something like that. And they went, and that was the best it was going to do without a complete rewrite. Investors pulled out and
crumbled.
Gone. So, anyway, there's lots of cool search stuff out there. We've got resources. Again, datadoctors.com/radio. But we're going to jump back on phones, even though Pete's looking at me going, "You really going to do that, dude? You got like 2 minutes." Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do that.
Let's do it.
Let's talk to Ryan, who's up next here on the Computer Corner. Hey, Ryan, before we get to your question, what do you use to search on the World Wide
Web?
Google. That's two votes. What you got, sir?
First, I'd like to tell you guys I really enjoy your show. Listening to you guys for the past couple of years, I've actually learned how to build a computer from scratch. So you guys are great.
We taught you how to build a computer over the air?
Yep.
That's amazing.
Hey, Dr. Sam, can you teach brain surgery, open heart surgery, anything like that over the air? Because we did the equivalent. He's not even listening.
Okay. My issue is really more of an annoyance than a problem. Lately, whenever I close down Internet Explorer, I get a message saying that Internet Explorer has closed down, searching for a solution. Now, I'm pretty sure it's a registry issue, but I don't like messing with the registry. Is there an easy way to get rid of this?
So you're getting something saying internet. So what you're getting is that Windows error reporting deal where it pops up and says, "Hey, something bad happened, and I don't know what's up, so I'm going to go ahead and report
and
back."
And that's only when I log off the internet, when I close the Internet Explorer, I get this. But you know, there's been no problem, and I noticed this just happened over the past 4 or 5 days after I installed my latest Microsoft update.
And did that latest update include Internet Explorer 8?
Did it? I think it did.
Okay, so all this started happening when you updated to Microsoft's latest version.
When the latest Microsoft update. I never had the problem before the latest Microsoft update.
Yeah, so this was another in the list of famous, to me, this is my opinion, this was another mostly baked product that probably wasn't quite ready for production, but they threw it out there anyway.
That's what Microsoft does.
Yeah, and in this case, they want to make sure that this thing is ready for prime time when they launch Windows 7, which will include what you have. And I think it wasn't quite ready. What I have on my computer, what I'd strongly recommend you do, is go get yourself another browser as well, like Firefox.
Uh-huh.
And use Internet Explorer for what you need to use it for, and use Firefox for everything else.
Yeah, I actually like Firefox. I use Firefox in school. They have Mac computers in school, and they have Firefox. I actually like Firefox better. I don't know why I've never gone around to install it, but that's a great suggestion.
But something you can do in the meantime is when it wants to report back the error to Microsoft, go ahead and let it do that, because that's going to help give them some ideas of what's going on and hopefully get that fixed for the rest of the world and for you for the future. So, hey, thanks for the call, Ryan. We really appreciate it. We got a line open at 602-277-5827. We got a quick timeout here. More Computer Corner when we return. Stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
"Don't!" It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. In case you're just joining us, we're talking about search. I know what you're saying. Sounds like the most exciting topic ever. Trust me when I tell you that we could help you find what you're looking for better.
Yes.
So if you haven't been listening to the show, strap yourself into your chair for the next hour and keep it tuned right here, because you're going to learn something, I promise you that. And of course, we're going to take calls and questions and talk to people about stuff that's going on in their lives with their computers and their frustrations. And we'll slip in a little bit of search love here and there. It's time now. Right now. You know what time it is, Ben?
No. Whoa.
That sound in the background tells me, tells you, tells everyone listening. It's time for our Geek Speak of the Week. Each and every week, Ben. Each week. You too, Lewis. Each week.
Every week.
We scour the tubes known as the internet, searching for something. Hopefully something we haven't used in a long time or ever. some vernacular, some phrase, some acronym, something that we think is sort of on topic and that might educate you a little bit, just a little tiny bit. Mostly so that when you're at a cocktail party or a happy hour or standing around by the copy machine at work and the IT guy, you know, that guy that's a geek, the jerk, the nerd, that guy, when he's trying to talk down to you by telling you how awesome he is because he knows terminology and phrases and...
That sounds like a skit from Saturday Night Live.
You now know, you understand what he's saying, and you can say something back that's equally as witty, if not more, and clown him. Anyway, take it away, Ben.
Today's Geek Speak of the Week is spamdexing.
That's why I like you here, Ben.
Why is that?
Because you just jump right in. Great voice, you know. Spamdexing.
Spamdexing.
Tell me what spamdexing is.
Well, it looks like the accumulation of certain websites that you would put on the internet in like a false type of way.
All right, so let me get this straight. I'm a spammer.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not really, but let's pretend I am for a minute.
Okay.
I look like a spammer.
No, right? He is.
I'd have to have a goatee like Lewis if I was going to be a spammer. Right, so I'm a spammer. more importantly, I'm just trying to get people attracted to my product, my virus, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I'd put together a website or a series of sites that had all kinds of phrases that might show up when people were doing searches to try to draw them into my site, where then I would display an ad or infect them or do whatever thing I wanted to do as said spammer with a goatee.
That's right.
So then the process that the search engines do when they're out indexing the web and they come across my spam would be spamdexing. Right?
Yeah.
Did I get it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
However, spamdexing can get you blacklisted.
Yes. Blacklisted is not a good thing.
No.
So if you have a website and you're trying to figure out, in the early days this was really popular, you had a website and search, internet search became super duper popular about the same time Pokemon was super duper popular, right? That's when it first hit big. And I remember there were tons and tons of companies, even big legit companies, that took and put the word Pokemon all over in either tiny little text or in text the same color as the background or whatever, all over their web pages in the hopes that they would climb in the search ranks. And while that sounds awesome, that their site is number one, if people are searching for Pokemon and end up at your site where you sell steak knives, how does that connect to revenue for you? Right? And so the internet and search in particular becomes all about relevancy. And when you purposely try to mislead, Google's gotten pretty smart and the other guys too. But mostly, I mean, let's face it, we all use Google, right?
Right.
They've gotten pretty smart and they figure out that if you're trying to peddle steak knives and you put Pokemon all over your site, that Pokemon's not real relevant to steak knives, and so they may blacklist you for trying to cheat and get traffic, and you're really only cheating yourself because that traffic wouldn't be interested in your product anyway. So what are you doing? So those of you out there that still believe in the old school ways of trying to take a bunch of text and throw it at the bottom of a site, you're only fooling yourself. By the way, Google has also gotten smart and figured out that the larger the text, the more important that must be. So when you take that tiny little text and put it at the bottom, and if that text color matches the background, they know that too. And they know that that means it's probably not very important and possibly is garbage, and they actually give you negative scores, meaning you hurt yourself in search. There's no way to cheat, or there are very few ways to cheat if you're trying to get your site better placement, meaning come up higher in the search rankings. There's two ways. You pay to have ads displayed, or you figure out how to make your site super relevant, and you try to make it something that people would want to come to. And the more people want to come to your site, the more Google's going to look at your site and go, huh, this is something people might want.
Well, if you make a site interactive,
yeah,
where people are having discussions and Twittering and doing all these various things on your site, then people are going back to that.
Right. And people linking to your site is huge in the world. And the bigger the group or organization is that links to you, the better. As an example, our website, datadoctors.com, it is out there doing its thing, and it's out there, got whatever search placement it's got. There are some people out there in the world that are, there's some guy that maybe listens to the radio show, and he has a little blog, and he posts a link to our site, which we appreciate, by the way. But that link is to one particular article. That helps a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, because this is one guy with one little blog out in the world, compared to Ken does every week a piece, a video piece with CNN, and they post every week a link from that video piece back to the associated content at our website. Now, CNN.com probably has a few more viewers than this guy's blog. Therefore, Google says that means that if somebody like CNN.com thinks that these guys, meaning Data Doctors, are legit, well, they must be legit, right? And so that's a big chunk of how the internet works and determines who gets what placement and what ranking. There's that. There's also the content itself. There's all kinds of things that go into that formula. The length of time you've been around, believe it or not, if you register a domain name, you have a choice of registering it for a year or for these days, 5 years, 100 years. The longer the term is, that shows that you've made a commitment to having that name for a long period of time. Google looks at that too. They look at a bunch of different pieces, all adding up to a ranking. So it's a crazy complex world that luckily none of us has to figure out. All we have to know is that we go to Google and we type in something and poof, there it is. Like mind reading.
Hmm.
That search. It's awesome. And now we know what spandexing is, and now we know a little bit about how the world of search works.
Phenomenal.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
Gripping.
It's gripping cool stuff. How they do it.
See, we got resources like that and more posted for you right now. datadoctors.com/radio. When we come back, we're going to check out what's in the email bag, and we're going to, of course, take some calls and questions from Carlos, Alex, John Stewart, and Rudy. So stick around. Keep it locked in right here. We'll be back.
Lincoln Mercury, it's Anderson's Great American Clearance Sale.
Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
Your boss wouldn't walk into a store and steal software off the shelf, but your boss may order you or another employee to copy software illegally on office computers. Either way, it's stealing. Report software piracy. It's the right thing to do.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. That's nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY.
Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Lewis was at a concert last night. I was at a concert last night. Different concerts, different places.
I was cleaning last night.
Ken was Twittering all night.
He was.
He was sending pictures, maybe? I don't know. I didn't look too deep into it.
I was sitting, three seats away from him at the same show at Dodge Theater. I went to the old man's outing.
Yeah, see, I was at the Young Bucks outing.
Well, the Medium Bucks outing.
Medium Bucks.
The Young Bucks listening would laugh because we both were at the Ancient Man's show. I was at the Super Ancient Man's show, and you were at the medium, middle, like our age, kind of, right?
Yeah, over the edge.
You were at Jane's Addiction and Nine Inch Nails, right?
Nine Inch Nails. Nine Inch Nails. Those guys are pretty big in the social networking media world as far as marketing.
Yeah. Well, all their music's free now, I think, too.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that they do is all internet-based. In fact, he sold like $1.2 million worth of albums in next to no time, just internet-based.
Wow. I was at the old man's place, so it was the 38 Special, REO Speedwagon, and Styx show.
Styx?
And it was very funny. At the end of the middle guy, the REO show, up on the screen was this big, www.speedwagon.com.
Ooh, I'm going to go there.
And I'm thinking, these guys go back to the 60s, right? And they're up in the social media.
They have to be.
They were. I was impressed for how much energy. I mean, those guys always had energy back in the day. They have more energy than I have, and I'm kind of an energetic kind of dude. They were jumping around, bouncing around, running around. They looked great. They looked young. I was impressed. I hope I'm feeling that good when I'm that age.
You will.
I mean, I guess if I've been rocking and up on a stage every night like they are, that's probably pretty awesome, right? So
yeah, these guys from Nine Inch Nails, they've got their own little application for iPhone. You can go in here and check media information, people that are nearby that are interested in Nine Inch Nails, message forums, and all that stuff.
All right, I see you've surpassed fan and gone to stalker. Right. Excellent. Good to know. Let's jump back on the phones and see if we can help people with technology issues like John, who's up next here on the Computer Corner. Hey, John, before we jump to your question.
Hi.
You search on the internet?
Yes, sir.
And what do you use?
Well, at work and at home, I have Google as my default.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, John, before we jump to your question.
Hi.
You search on the internet?
Yes, sir.
And what do you use?
Well, at work and at home, I have Google as my default.
All right.
Mark it down.
So wait a minute. Even though the big E comes with Microsoft Live Search as its default, you changed that to Google?
Yes, sir.
All right. We're going to mark it down twice because you use it at home and at work.
That's right.
All right, John. Hey, thanks for that. What can we help you with?
Well, I got an old computer here, XP home, and it's about ready to die. I wondered if you could help me. I lost my product license.
And it's not stuck on the side of the computer, on the back or whatever?
I think it was. Gone now. It's gone.
All right. So you have no product key, and you're probably contemplating reinstalling and thinking before you do it. Well, so for first, let's back up. Just I'll give you a quick education, and then I'll tell you what I think. But if there was a product key stuck to the side of a computer, that means that operating system was something called OEM. Meaning you don't have the right to take it off one computer and put it on another?
I mean, I stuck it on there.
Right.
From my disk that I bought.
Okay. So most people don't know that the operating system is fixed to that computer, and when you get rid of it, it's gone with that computer. You can't just install it on another. And
right.
That's
I built this computer now, myself.
Since none of us care about the legal realities of that, you just want to know how you get the product key so you can install, right?
Right.
So Ben, maybe, since he's the guy that's out in the world doing this stuff. Ben, you got any ideas for him?
Yeah, there's if you go to google.com and you type in SIW.
Wait a minute. Google? What? Slow
Google?
Down. Never heard of it.
No, know what that is?
Yeah. So type in SIW.
Yeah.
F is in Sam.
Yep. Sam Igloo Walrus.
It's actually System Information Windows.
System Information Windows?
Mm-hmm.
This is a program?
Yeah.
So it's like SIW.exe or something like that?
That's right.
All right. And how much does that program cost, Ben?
It's free.
Free?
Free.
Yeah.
And so you get this program, and he's just going to double-click on it, and what's going to happen?
Well, he can open it up, and there's a button he can press called licenses.
Licenses is?
Yep.
And it's going to go out and search around, and it's going to come back and say, here you go.
Yep. But there's another button called secrets on there.
Secrets.
Secrets.
Wait, we can't say that out loud. We'd say secrets.
Secrets.
What secrets do?
Secrets. Well, what secrets does is if you use Outlook Express or use webmail and you have your password saved on your computer, like you shouldn't, but some people do.
Yeah.
It'll actually show them for the sites.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You shouldn't, but some people do.
Yeah.
Let's say you shouldn't, but everyone does.
Okay.
You want to have to type your password in every time you check your email on Outlook? Are you kidding me, dude? It's a secret, but no.
Yeah. But anyways, you can get those too. So when you do end up reloading Windows, you have those passwords again if you didn't remember them.
So, John, did Ben hook you up or what?
Well, I didn't quite get the website. But...
Well, the website is Google. You know where to get to that, right?
Yeah.
So in Google, you're going to type in SIW.exe.
SIW.exe.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, John, in the future, when you don't know what the website is, as long as you know what you're looking for, remember, we have this friend out there called Google, and he knows what's up.
All right.
All right?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and good luck in your search for SIW.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. See that good luck in your search? See how I tied that in, Ben?
Yeah.
It's awesome, right?
I got to make a music.
That's what over a decade of doing this on the air will do for you, sir. You stick around for another, 7-8 years? You'll be ready to rock.
I'll be around.
All right, we got a full half hour left of Computer Corner, so we want you to stick around. Carlos, Alex, Stewart, and Rudy, I promise you are all my next caller.
They're all math questions,
actually,
aren't they?
You can't all be the next caller. In some kind of order, in the order in which your call was received. And this call may be monitored and broadcast to a studio audience of, I don't know. Anyway, stick around because we're going to talk to you. We're going to tell you a little bit more about search and more. Too bad they didn't have this rocking last night at a concert, huh, Ben? That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, right?
We've been talking about search and ways to find things more or better on the internet. And we've come to the conclusion, actually we came to the conclusion before the show began, but in the process of talking to people and taking callers and stuff and asking what they used to search, what's the point of using anything but Google, right?
But you can't be too sure. What about the next caller?
Yeah, the next caller. We'll ask them too, but for generic general search, that is the bomb. Now, there are some specific kinds of searches. If you want to search and sort of really more than search, sort of in real time see what people are doing on something like Twitter, there are specific search engines just for doing that, where Google goes and indexes and looks and checks and finds things, but it's doing it not quite in real time. It's doing it sort of after the fact, and so their results could be hours or days or even weeks old.
So what if you need it right away?
Right. So there are things like the Twitter search or something that is out there. Take the word monitor, but play with it a little bit and put a double T. So M-O-N-I-T-T-E-R, because Twitter, see? So monitor lets you monitor in real time the Twittosphere.
Whoa.
Now, don't worry about if you can't spell the monitor thing, if you didn't hear it right, whatever. At our website, datadoctors.com/radio, you'll see under this week's links a link to it and some other very specific kinds of search engines we wanted to bring your attention to if you're looking for the ability to search very specific things. But one of the things you can do in Google, we kind of teased a little bit earlier in the show, was you can help refine your search results quite a bit by simply doing some things like when you get an error message. If you type that error message in Google, you're likely to find results. But if you want to make those results probably even more relevant, put your error message in quotes. What that does is it forces Google. Well, let's talk about it. When you don't put it in quotes, if you put 15 words into Google, it takes those 15 words and looks for some combination of those 15 words in any order for its searching. Versus when you put it in quotes, it says in that specific order. And so an error message is very specific, something that would work much better in quotes. Or if you're going to do what we call ego surfing, if you want to go search for your own name, Ben Kruse.
I do it all the time.
Ben space K-R-U-S-E. If you put just Ben space K-R-U-S-E, anybody named Ben or anybody named Kruse or any combination thereof, you're going to find. But when you put Ben Kruse in quotes, it means Ben first, then a space, then the word Kruse, all together and only in that order. You see the difference? And a simple putting quotes around your search phrase can really change the world. So when you're searching for generic things, like a minute ago, I was trying to figure out, how do I change the default program associated with something in the Mac world? When you want to open something, you double-click it. In the Windows world, I know how to do it, but in the Mac world, I didn't, and I asked Lewis, and he was worthless as usual.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, okay, Google probably will know this, right? But I'm not exactly 100% sure what I'm searching for, so I just put in, like, default file association Mac. If I put that in quotes, it would only look for in that order. In this case, I don't want it to be in that order. It could be in any order. I want whatever combination of things gets me there. And of course, so I didn't put it in search, in quotes, and it came back, and the first link it had told me exactly what to do. And then I taught Lewis, so he knows now.
Knowing is half the battle.
The reality is that I probably didn't teach Lewis. I probably reminded him, because no matter how good you are and whatever you do, there's so many things to do and so many ways to do those things that you can't possibly remember them all. So that's what something like Google's for, just to remind you of what you forgot. Oh, yeah, I remember now, that kind of thing.
I was looking up web browsers before. I forgot all about the ones until I looked them up. I'm like, oh, I remember that one.
See?
Yeah.
You don't even realize how much you use search. You thought this topic was a dud, but look at that.
No, it's not a dud.
All right.
You become so prone to the internet, you use search all the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know a guy who uses search all the time?
Who?
It's a guy named Alex.
Alex?
He's calling with some kind of problem. Alex, before we get to your problem, what's your vote for the search engine you use?
I use Google most of the time.
All right. We're solid in the lead with that. So now, what can we help you with, sir?
Well, my brother just bought a while ago a Toshiba. It's a gaming laptop. And since about 2 weeks ago, he cannot download anything on it. We tried downloading with Firefox, with Netscape, with pretty much anything. It shows that it downloads. It gets to the end. The moment when you try to open it, the file is not in the computer.
Okay, so possibly the place where it's downloading the files to, as far as like the default download location, maybe that changed, and so you're expecting it to be like, for example, the desktop, but it's instead My Documents.
Yeah, we try to save it in My Documents. We try to save it in different places. We try with the Save File options. We also try with the Open File option, and it's still not in the. It's nowhere to be found.
Have you tried the run option just to run it?
Excuse me?
When you're downloading it, do you just try to run it sometimes?
I try to run it sometimes with a run option. And
are you using Internet Explorer or Firefox, or what do you use for a browser?
We tried it with Internet Explorer, with Firefox, and with Netscape. And
Wow. All right, you've stumped now three guys in the room that together we know. Not everything there is to know about computers, but we know quite a bit.
And yesterday I tried with this with Chrome, and it still didn't work.
So there's got to be something installed on your machine, and I'm thinking something along the lines of some over-aggressive...
Malicious software.
Software. I mean, not malicious, maybe. It could be something that's trying to maybe protect you. So maybe
When did this all happen?
It wouldn't be firewall, but it would be some program that maybe is trying to protect you, and it's doing such a good job that you can't even download stuff.
Yeah, did that happen?
I disabled the firewall, I closed my antivirus protection and everything, and...
Can you think about, does this ever work properly in the past?
Yeah, it worked fine.
Up until like maybe 4 days ago, 2 weeks ago, when did it stop working, can you remember?
About 2 weeks ago when we tried to download Ventrilo, because my brother plays a lot of online games.
Okay. I mean, the couple things you could try is, like when you're looking for your car keys, you think about where you last used your car, and you go back, and you could try that system restore thing we talked about earlier, where you can click on start.
Yeah, I know exactly how it has to be done. I'm A-plus certified.
Okay, so you could go back and try to use System Restore, see if you can go back to the point before when that occurred to see if something changed. Something obviously in your machine changed, and if I had to take a guess, it would be something security-related or something virus, spyware, something along those lines. The other thing possibly is, did you used to log in as somebody that was had administrative privileges, and today they don't? And so it's not allowing them to save files. I mean, I'm just, there's got to be something, and it's got to be security related that's preventing this. You would think, though, if it was like really security related, it would pop up and say, hey, you can't save stuff here. You don't have permissions or whatever. So I'm confused about that. But check into those couple of things. Make sure the user you're logged in with does have administrator privileges. Disable, uninstall any kind of recently installed programs and things. If you haven't resorted the start, you know, all programs list, look at the stuff that's newest installed. Or another little trick, you can double click on the program files folder,
mm-hmm.
and then tell it to sort, you know, make sure you're displaying details, sort by date. You'll see the things that have been installed the most recently. You know, see if something jars your memory or triggers a memory, something like that, that'll help you figure out, oh, this must be it, that kind of thing.
Okay. Can I also make a suggestion? Because I hear in the last 2 weeks, because I'm listening to you guys every single week.
Yeah, we love suggestions. Go for it.
In the last week, I've heard a lot of people having problems with getting viruses because of the codec thing.
Yes, sir.
The best thing to do, just go on Google and search for K-Lite codec pack.
Yep.
That package has all the codecs. If you go somewhere online and it tells you to watch this video, you need this codec, that means it's a virus because you already have everything that you need.
That's a good suggestion.
True to that.
It's one of several different packages out there. The only problem with doing a Google search for something like that is that there are sort of unscrupulous people out there that put something up that sort of looks like that, and to the uneducated person, that they might download what they think is that codec pack, and they're doing the same damage. So maybe we'll come up with a resource someplace where we can post a link to a known safe all-in-one kind of codec pack. But that's a great suggestion. Thanks for that, Alex.
No problem. Well, thank you for your help.
You bet. Thanks for the call, and good luck with your search for downloads. All right.
I'll have to reinstall everything.
Hey, if you figure it out, you give us a call back and let us know what it was.
Okay. All right. I will.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Oops. I cut him off on the button.
You've been doing that a lot today.
Have I been doing that a lot? Have I been failing everywhere?
Only going to commercial.
Am I a complete failure?
No, you're not a complete failure.
Why are you so harsh, Lewis? I mean, just because Macs don't break doesn't mean you have to be so harsh, bro.
Because you've got the happy guy over here. I've got to be the negative one.
Oh, the yin and the yang.
Hey, there it is.
You got to balance the big smile, the big grin. All right, we're going to take a quick time out a little bit early. Come back. We'll wrap some things up. We got Carlos, Stuart, and Rudy. We're waiting to talk to you. We can't wait, so please wait for us. And, stick around. Are you on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and all these different social media sites, and all of them have this little status and you can update it? And are you spending too much time trying to update all those statuses and want an easy way to update them all at once? Do you, Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah, ping.fm, sir. Ping.fm.
Oh, sir.
It lets you update over 40 social networks all at the same time. So you can say, Ben is... Right? And then you can put in, like, hanging out, doing the radio show with the two coolest guys ever. And it can automatically update your Twitter and your Facebook and your LinkedIn and your MySpace and whatever else you use all at the same time. By the way, the two coolest guys you're hanging out with, in case you didn't figure that out, that's me and Lewis. Just helping you out in case you didn't know already. You want tips like that, Ben?
Yeah.
Do you want them, like, regularly?
Hourly.
Hourly?
Yes.
Well, we can't help you with hourly, but what we can help you with is weekly.
Okay.
We hook you up every week with tips and tricks and opinions and news information, all kinds of stuff. It's in our newsletter.
Yeah.
Did you know we had a newsletter, Ben?
I did know that.
Why did you know?
Because I subscribed to it.
So how did you subscribe? When you were trying to figure out, God, I want to get on this newsletter. How do I do this?
I went to datadoctors.com, and it says subscribe to newsletter.
Right there. You put in your email address, hit the subscribe button, and...
That was it.
Blows you up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Weekly.
Weekly.
Good stuff.
Every Friday.
How many ads are in there?
None.
Zero. Yeah. None. How much spam's in there?
Oh, absolutely none.
How many people do we sell that list to? Zero.
Oh.
I'll help you with that.
There you go.
I control the list. I'm actually the list master. I'm a pretty decent guy. You've known me for a while, right?
Yeah.
Been sitting there doing some arithmetic. He's like, I don't know.
I can promise you, I'll put my name on it. I'll stake my whole reputation on it. I'll stake the 12 years we've been doing this radio show on it and the 21 and a half years Data Doctor has been in business. We've never, ever, ever sold the list to anybody. We've always maintained our own list. We don't hire a third-party company.
So for all you hackers out there that want to hijack their website.
No. That is not an open invitation. I'm sure everything and every website and every computer is vulnerable in some way. I'm not stupid enough to throw out a gauntlet. I'm not the guy on LifeLock saying, here's my social security number. I dare you. That's not smart. That's not me. But what I will tell you is that we're responsible. We use industry standard stuff, and we're not going to sell it to anybody.
Well, I'm on it. My friends are on it. My family's on it.
Thanks, Ben. Do you like how I used you to help explain something?
Yes.
Yeah. Thanks for participating.
Yes.
Playing along.
No problem.
All right, back to the phones. Let's see if we can hook up everybody that's left hanging out so that we don't leave anybody hanging. And, of course, Carlos, Stuart, Rudy, in case we can't get you on the air, you sit tight. After the show, we're going to get you off the air because you've been patient to hang with us. We're going to take care of you. Deal? Deal. All right, Stuart, you're up next here on the Computer Corner. Quickly, before we get to your question, what do you use to search with, please?
I use Google along with my little smartphone. I put the address bar to google.com, and I usually sound like a really smart guy.
All right, smart guy.
Google also has Google Maps for smartphone applications.
Well, what are you calling us for? You could ask Google your question. You don't need us.
But yes, I do, guys. I have a desktop that has recently been made sick, very sick, by some Windows updates, Internet Explorer and all that. And I do not have a system restore disk along with the factory patch. And I need to know where would be a good place locally in the Valley area to go obtain those items for my 2005 desktop.
Is it a major name brand manufacturer who makes this said desktop?
556GE 2005.
Yeah, no. Who makes the computer?
Gateway.
Gateway. Okay. So that's your resource.
Okay, so I got to go directly through them?
Yes, sir. If you want the restore disks that is for that computer, you could try Googling for that restore disk, funny enough, and somebody might be selling it like on eBay or something, but, I mean, there's nobody there. Every computer, every model, every manufacturer has their own. There's nobody locally that's going to have this thing unless they just happen to have it, like I said, an eBay or a Craigslist. But
Craigslist,
really get on the phone, call them up. They're going to charge you some nominal shipping and handling fee, less than $20 probably, and they'll ship it right to you.
Okay, cool. I think I'll try that. But, yeah, Google on my smartphone and Google Maps are free. Help me get around town. Great stuff.
Cool. Thanks for being a smart guy, Stuart. Bye. See you later. Google.
It does everything.
Unanimous. All right, quickly, let's see if we can help Rudy. Rudy, we won't ask you what you use to search because we already know. So what can we help you with?
Okay, I have XP Pro.
All right. Hey, Rudy, did I tell you we got 30 seconds?
Okay. Whenever I turn off the computer, I get these end program messages.
Yep.
They contain processes.
Okay.
3 to 10 or 12 of them.
3 to 10 or 12. That's a lot. Tell you what, Rudy, I already know where this is going. Your question and your answer are going to be very, very specific to you. So we're going to have Ben help you right off the air in just a second. I'm going to put you right back where I found you. Because there's no way we're going to make that happen on the air. And if we did, people would fall asleep.
It
would be boring. But we're going to take care of Rudy. So, Rudy, you sit tight. And, Carlos, you just hang out where you're at as well. We're going to take care of you for the rest of you. Yes, you. Not you, Ben.
No.
All of them.
Okay, them.
The listeners. The big people. The awesome ones. For them.
They are awesome.
If you missed any part of the show, fear not. Why fear not? Before we have hooked you up. Oh, yes, we have. DataDoctors.com/radio. Anytime, all the time, online. It's there for you.
Or get the podcast.
The resources. The podcast will be available. You can go to iTunes and type in Data Doctors. You'll find it in seconds. Or same place, DataDoctors.com/radio. Do I sound like the guy from, what's that dumb movie? Yes, we are here from Space Quest. What was that movie called? I don't know what it's called.
I'm not that old.
I don't know. Oh, nice. Anyway, again, miss any part of the show, datadoctors.com/radio, datadoctors.com/radio, datadoctors.com/radio.
It's like my
Until next time, if you don't need it, don't install it. Bye.